Father, I want to thank you for a willing heart and an obedient spirit. I thank you that Sylvia has heard your call, not the call of a man, but the call of God, and is stepping forward to serve these very precious souls in your house. Father, I pray that you will anoint her to do her job, that you will minister through her, that she will be such a person of peace and power that when people get around her, they'll just melt in her presence. Father, I also pray that you will multiply her time back and that you will minister to her and in her private devotions and in her time where she is not doing ministering back there, that you would feed her. Feed her as your sheep, Lord God. And Father, when she is back there, I pray that you'll show her great and mighty things that she didn't know and that you'll train her, Lord, for the ministry. And Father, as she does it, and Father, I just give you praise for all that you're doing in her life. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Thank you, Sylvia, for doing that. Sylvia's been around this place longer than me. Her and her husband, Jeff, are just awesome, awesome people. And I'm so grateful to have them in this church. They're such servants. All right, take out your Bibles. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke 22. This morning, we are going to continue our series, Ministering in Maturity. And we're going to begin by reading in Luke 22, verse 31 today. And so when you get to Luke 22 and verse 31, I know people are racing to get on their phones faster than anyone else so you don't get knocked off. How many are on your electronic device? You're on. Good. All right. How many of you are there at Luke 22, 31? Say amen. Amen. All right, that's most of you, so let's go. Luke 22, verse 31. And this is the Lord talking to Peter. All right, he's talking to Simon Peter. That's who he's saying. And the Lord said, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Simon, he's using his first name. I mean, this must be pretty serious. You know, when your parents called you when you were in trouble, when something important was going to happen, sometimes they'd change from the name they called you most of the time to your full name. And when I knew when my mother said Parky John, when she said Parky John, that was not a good thing. That meant that something, I had done something wrong, or I needed to move now. I needed to be aware that there was something important happening. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. He didn't say, I said no. I didn't say no to him. He didn't say no, but I didn't say no to him. Did he? He said, but I prayed for you. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, when this war is all over, strengthen your brethren. Because what you have received during this time, the Lord's saying, you're going to be able to use to reach other people with. You're going to be able to use to set other people free. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for anything, Lord. I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you even know me. Wow. What a powerful verse of Scripture. And those who are joining us today for the first time, jumping right here in the middle, we've been studying a subject called Ministering in Maturity. And the subject that we're going to study over the next few weeks of this series is a subject that I'm calling New Level, New Devil. Everybody say New Level, New Devil. Now let me explain what we're going to be learning in the teaching New Level, New Devil. As you trust God in your walk with Him and you begin to seek His will for your life, God begins to reveal His plan to you. How many of you say, I believe God has shown me some things about steps I'm supposed to take in my life. I just believe he's showing me some things. Well, if he hasn't yet, then you need to ask. All right? Ask him, because he has something to show you for you. He'll show you a direction that he wants you to take. And sometimes he will show you something that doesn't require very many steps to get to. Maybe he'll tell you to lead a Bible study, or maybe he'll tell you to start a prayer group. Or maybe he tells you to join a ministry in the church, and that ministry, maybe it doesn't require a whole lot of steps to get involved in it. But sometimes he'll show you something that I call crazy impossible. He'll show you something that's way up the ladder. Crazy impossible. Something that doesn't look like it's going to be a big stretch for you to be able to obtain it. Way above your ability in your current situation. Or sometimes he does something that is just as tough as showing you the crazy impossible step. He may show you something that you think is your next step, while in reality, you are still many steps away from its fulfillment. Did you understand what I said? He can also show you something that looks crazy impossible, and you may think that's your very next step, but in reality, you're still very far away from that. Peter thought he was farther up the step ladder than he really was, didn't he? He said, look, I'm ready. I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go fight the giants. I'm ready to step into the scenario of extreme warfare. I'm ready to go with you into the place where heavy life and death warfare is fought. That's my next step. I know it is. And the Lord said, no, it's not. That's not your next step. He said, you're not prepared for that. Your character is not strong enough. You have not yielded to my spirit in that way yet. That is not your step. Doesn't mean it wasn't his step someday. It just meant it wasn't his step now. That wasn't what he was supposed to do. And this is the pattern of the God we serve. He's the kind of God that shows us things. He delights in giving his people visions. He may have shown some of you to start a business. And in that, you can see yourself spreading the gospel by loving on those that work with you, by reaching out to your customers, by being able to just spread the love of Jesus there with the people you work with and the people you serve. Some of you, he's shown you a ministry he wants you to do. And maybe you feel qualified for it, and maybe you don't. That doesn't really matter. What matters is that you believe it's coming from God. And we have talked about this already, that if you'll ask, he'll show you. And if he shows you, you have to say yes. All right? And we're not going to go back over those steps again today. We've already done that. But today we're going to look at what happens when you say yes. When you begin to take steps on the ladder, we're going to look at what happens. Because when you begin to take a step, God begins to fulfill his will in your life. And every step that you take, the devil is waiting with an attack. Every step along the way, the enemy is waiting with an attack. Somebody says, boy, you're really encouraging us to get us to take steps, aren't you? Listen, just because the devil is waiting, that doesn't mean we don't walk. We don't take our directions from him. Sure, if you're walking in God and God's will, sometime you're going to run into him. Jesus, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, into a direct contact where Satan was, right? Direct contact with the enemy. Directly to the place where the enemy was waiting. But we don't get scared just because we know that, because we trust our God in the victory that he's won for us. But every step you take, the devil's waiting. And here's the key. The bait that he uses to make you fall doesn't change. Now, the bait that he uses to make you fall doesn't change, but the packages he wraps it in does change. And the methods that he uses get more deceptive the farther you walk. So the bait is the same. But the outfit that it wears and the disguise that it comes to you in does change. And this is called new level, new devil, because of how Satan disguises his temptations to fit every level. It'll probably take us several weeks to cover this, and so we're not going to get in a hurry. We're going to take it slow and talk about this and get it fully in our spirit. But today, what I want to talk to you about is the two basic attacks that's used against someone who is walking that walk up the ladder with God. Someone who has said yes to the Lord. Someone who's saying, I will follow you, Lord. I will go where you tell me to go. I have seen what you have shown me to do. I have gone to counsel for it. I have prayed diligently and have gotten that step confirmed. Lord, I know where you're leading me and I'm ready to go. And we're going to talk about the two basic attacks that are going to come against the person who has said yes and begun to walk in God. So the first attack that Satan usually uses, or one of the attacks, it's not necessarily the first one. It's just one of them. Everybody say it's not necessarily the first one, but it is one of them. One of the attacks that Satan uses against people who have said yes to his will is something that I call the other shoulder. Say, boy, that's weird. What do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. The devil has an interesting way of coming against God's people, and that way has not changed. And the reason it's not changed is because Satan is able to disguise these attacks as you go up the ladder. As you go up, the attacks become more subtle and therefore harder to discern. And that's what makes them so effective. Now, when you're just starting off in the will of God and you're beginning to move up, the devil usually attacks you in the areas of your courage and your faith. He comes against your courage and your faith. And usually because you're having to go through some hardships and some waiting times when you first start out. One common hardship that Satan usually comes against us with is learning to trust God with our provision. And when we are learning, God is actually teaching us to trust Him with our provision. And while we are doing that, Satan is coming against us the whole time, attacking us in that area, trying to get us to move off of faith in God in the area of provision and go back to trusting in the world's ways and man's ways. And Satan will come against you in that area. That's one thing that usually happens when you first start off. If you already have money when you're saved, then guess what? God will test you in the love of money. And he'll see what is first in your life. And he will challenge you about giving things away and doing things with your money. Don't think he will. He won't. There was one guy that came to him that said, Lord, I want to follow you wherever you lead me. And he says, well, you know what I've told you. You got to keep your character is important. If you want to follow me, then you got to allow me to work on your character. Well, Lord, all those things I've already learned, but there's something I feel like that's still not right yet. And he goes, well, you're right. If you want to be mature, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And that guy, he stumbled over that because the Lord knew he had a love of money in his life. His money was not serving him. He was serving his money. The money was not serving the purposes of God. And if the money is serving the purposes of is not serving the purposes of God, but serving you, then God's going to challenge that. He will challenge that along the way. Another common hardship when you first get started is learning how to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Instead of looking at ourselves and what our capabilities are and what we can do and what's been done in our family before us. Well, nobody in my family's ever been successful. Or look at me, I did terrible in school. Or I've never done things right and I don't have a lot of intelligence or whatever. And God begins to teach us, hey, this work that I'm going to do is not done through your charisma, through your wisdom, and through your knowledge. It's done through the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people just can't get past that place because the devil keeps pointing back at them. He says, look at you. Look at where you came from. Look at what happened to you in your life. Look at your family. Everything's in disarray. You're not very smart. And then the enemy will come against you in that area of finance and say, you don't have anything. You can't trust God. He's not going to provide for you. This is ridiculous. God's desire is to just make you poor and starve you out. The enemy really attacks in those areas. Another hardship sometimes at lower levels is learning to wait on God. Not depend upon His Spirit, but wait on Him. During lower levels, we're often in training. Watching others step forward while we are still in beginner stages. We learn submission to God, and we learn submission to God by learning submission to others during these stages. We learn, we wait, we trust. It's in this time that our commitment to God's processes are being tested. We're learning to do things His way rather than the way of the world and the way of the flesh. And it's during these times that Satan gets on one shoulder. And he begins to say things to you like what I was saying before. This isn't ever going to work for you. People don't really believe in you seeing, or not invested in seeing God's will come to pass in your life. You're going to be waiting forever. Time's going by. Look in the mirror. You're not any younger. You better make something happen. You better start something. You better get out there and get with it. And you know, it's just a driving type thing, a driving type thing. There's a big difference between Satan and the Lord. Two types of individuals interact with sheep, and God calls us sheep, and there's two types of individuals that interact with sheep, and you better learn the difference. One is the shepherd. The shepherd is out front of the sheep. He's already gone before the sheep. In other words, he's not asking them to go somewhere he hasn't already gone himself. He's out front. He's calling his sheep. He's encouraging his sheep. He's leading his sheep. He loves his sheep. The good shepherd will lay down his life for them and has already done that. His motives are without question. Maybe you don't understand his direction, but his motives cannot be questioned because he has proven his motives. But there is another one that interacts with sheep too, and it's called someone called the butcher. And the butcher stands behind the sheep. He's not in front of them. He's behind them. And he's driving them, and he's hollering at them, and he's putting them down, and he's screaming at them, and he's hitting them, and he's beating them. And he has one goal for the sheep, and that is to get them to slaughter. That's his only goal that he has. And when you're walking with the Lord, you better learn the difference between the two people that interact with sheep and learn the difference between their motives and learn the difference between their voices. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 10, I believe, my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And another they will not follow. So if you're going to be able to follow the Lord, you've got to know the difference between the two that interact with sheep, be able to recognize who is speaking to you, and either follow or say no. Depending upon whether the voice is coming from the shepherd or whether the voice is coming from the butcher. And so the butcher is sitting there the whole time telling you every reason why it's not going to happen. Whatever it is, he's on one shoulder. Too much water under the bridge. Too much sin has happened. Whatever. Look at all these people, all these unqualified people stepping up before you. They can't even pick right. Look at them. They said an unqualified people. You got to wait, and they really see something in you. They really see something in you that disqualifies you. They don't want it to work in your life. Give up on this provision thing. Why don't you take care of yourself? Why don't you quit waiting? All this kind of stuff, beating. And then if you get to the place where you're not listening to that voice and you begin to move and you begin to take steps in God, then Satan jumps to the other shoulder. Everybody say the other shoulder. When he sees when that plan of berating you and putting you down is not working, that you're going to put your faith in God, that you're going to believe in Him, that you're going to walk forward, then Satan jumps to the other shoulder and he begins to talk to you in another way. And these are some of the things he begins to say to you. Now he begins to tell you how wonderful you are, how indispensable to the kingdom and humanity you are, how smart you are, how much you deserve the best of everything, how much you deserve the biggest and brightest spotlight. And I'm going to tell you what, that kind of attack right there is going to continue all the way up the ladder. That one's not going to stop. He'll stay on that shoulder all the way up and will continue to talk. And if you thought that the battle at the lower steps was tough, that one's hard because he changes his attacks to fit each step. And then he begins to tell you, he begins to say, man, you're more talented than this. This waiting is for the birds. Why don't you just make something happen? Why don't you go somewhere and do something? These people, they don't love you. They're not helping you. Or somebody will say something to you, you know, you need to go through this class or that class, or you need to do this. And you go, no, I don't. Or you'll do like Peter. You know, the devil will be on your shoulder and Jesus will be talking to you and he'll be telling you, he'll be saying, this is what's going to happen. We're about to go through a time of hardship. Peter will say, I'm fit for the times. I can make it. I know I can walk with Jesus all the way through this thing. And the Lord says, that's not your next step. But pride drives us forward. But thank God, he's in the business of humbling people. He humbles those he loves. And he shows us what's really in our hearts. And he's faithful to do that. And I thank him for that. Because if you start skipping steps, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get on a step in which you are not prepared to handle. And you will fall. And you will fail. And you will be heartbroken. And it could be a catastrophic fall that could change the focus of the ministry God's going to do through you forever. I'm not saying you might not minister, but it could sure change the scope and the target. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. And you say, Pastor, what's the remedy to this? I'm not going to tell you today. I'm going to talk about that in about another week or two or three weeks, whenever the Lord says. But we're going to get to the remedy for that. But you're just going to have to hang around and listen. But that is the way, one of the ways that Satan attacks people. You're no good. If that one doesn't work, you're the best thing since sliced bread. Indispensable. Awesome. He starts talking to you in that Lucifer language. Won't you ascend? Ascend! You ascend. You make it happen. Rather than David saying, I will not make it happen. Only God knows my heart. I will let him test me. I will let him try me. And in his time, he will lift me up. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due season he may lift you up. All right. Well, let's talk about the second basic way that Satan attacks as you fulfill his will, and that is the defeat of someone whose defeat defeats you. The defeat of someone whose defeat defeats you. Now, Satan is ruthless, and he doesn't fight fair. And that doesn't make me scared of him. That makes me mad. He doesn't fight fair. I'm not afraid of him. I respect his tools if I'm not following the Lord and if I'm not in tune with the Spirit. I respect what he has out there because I understand these steps are real. I understand they get more subtle as you move along. I understand that they get more deceptive. And one other thing I also understand is Satan is going to use your pain to get to you. Whatever place you're hurt, that's the way he's going to try to come in and attack you. If you're lonely, he'll come through loneliness. If you have a fear of rejection, he'll come through that. If you have a fear of failure, he'll come through that. If you have pride, he'll come through that. That's a character flaw. But whatever type of pain you have in your life, he'll try to exploit that to bring you down. And as you walk those steps up higher and higher, the lonelier it gets. And the conditions are right, and Satan understands those conditions, and the conditions are right to bring you down unless you have the remedy in place, and we'll talk about that remedy in a couple of weeks. But Satan is ruthless, and if he can't stop you from following God, he'll seek to attack someone who's important to you, believing that their defeat will stop you. Okay? He may attack your spouse, may come against your kids. Something may happen to your parents. Something may happen to a business associate. But the intent is to stop the will of God from being fulfilled in your life. I mean, I guess we've all seen it. I mean, we've seen things happen to people. And some things bad just happen to people just because we live in an imperfect world. And there's terrific tragedies that can happen even to those who love the Lord. You can read through the Bible and see that sometimes terrible things do happen to good people. It's true. We've seen it all throughout the Word of God. Jonathan was a good man. He had bad things happen to him. Josiah was a great man of God. He had some bad things happen to him. Moses made some decisions that caused him to not even be able to enter the promised land. And there are people in our lives that can be attacked, or they can be sick and things can happen to them. And sometimes their defeats are actually a great impediment to us moving forward in the Lord. They may come against your kid. You may be in a position in the church or something, and they come against your children and say, "I can't serve in this position. Look how a mess my kids are. I can't do that." Or something may happen. A man may be serving God and his precious wife passes away. And he just doesn't know how he's going to be able to go on without her, minister any longer without her, or children, or a parent, or a dear parent, somebody that's always been there is gone, or someone gets sick, or things happen like that. And if we're not careful, we can get derailed by those events. And they're important. And we need to take the time to take care of those events. But you can't let something that is meant to be a stepping stone in your life become a tombstone. It's a hard thing. But ultimately, it's meant for you to be able to step on it and go to a higher height. But lots of times, it's set up and becomes a tombstone, and it's right in front of us, and it's a place that we stop. I can't go past this. Here lies what's left of the hope of this ministry. This is the place that marks the death of this business. This is the place that marks the death of what God's called me to do. Wherein God's intent is for you in the proper time to be able to get your foot on that and be able to use it as a stepping stone to go to another height. Giving up at that point is not an option. Grieving may be an option. Getting ministered to is an option. Receiving love from someone is an option. Getting help in ministry, those are all options, but giving up is not an option. It's at this point we're learning to love God first and put His belief, our belief in His power and His anointing and His guidance above all other things, and to trust Him with the people in our lives. Rhonda and I have had to learn to do that. We have people in our lives that the enemy comes against and that their own stupidity causes things to happen. And I'm just saying it. And you know, I hear those things. I lay in bed and I hear what the enemy says. "You don't stop doing what you're doing, I'll kill your children." I hear him say those things to me. I'm after them. I'm going to get them. "You better back off what you're doing." And I just sit there and I'm a parent, human just like the rest of you. And I can shiver over that if I sit there and listen to that. I tell the devil, I say, "Well, you ain't going to do that. Because number one, they don't belong to you. The Bible says that they're a subject of divine interest because of my relationship with God. And number two, the Lord loves them. And that's not the plan for their life. My children were not brought forth for calamity or danger, but to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And I start telling him, I say, "Listen, let me tell you what's going to happen. You want to know what's going to happen? I'm going to go forward no matter what happens. But the help of my God, I'm going to move forward. You're not going to scare me off the plan God has called me to do and the things that He has asked me to do. I trust God with my kids." Listen, those kids, they're His kids. They're His. Okay? And that's just the way it is. Hey, Jeff, this one, there you go. You don't blow smoke. I don't blow smoke about things. I have to search my heart, and I have to let God show me what's real. I have to say, "Lord, I'm moving forward. I'm not going to let these things stop me." Now, they may bring me to my knees when they happen. They may bring me to my knees. Pastor Mark, Patty have had a real battle in their flesh, in their bodies. And you know, the enemy tell you, he'll say, I'm gonna kill you with this thing. You're not gonna do what God's called you to do. You better stop. The next step for you will be a casket.
And that's when you have to say, I believe in God. My life is not in your hands. You can't do with me just anything you want to do. Take the book of Job, for instance. You say, well, that's not a good book to refer back to. Lord, look at what happened to him. Well, yeah, but look at who was actually in control of Job's life. God set the parameters for how the enemy could attack Job. The enemy didn't decide that. God did. God decided that. And you know what? In reality, Job, even though he had some children that died and went to be with heaven, and he had twice as many children later, and God blessed him with twice as much, and he never really lost anything because his other kids were in heaven waiting on him. Don't let the enemy talk to you about loss, because ultimately, everything you have belongs to God. Okay? But that's what he'll do. And he'll try to defeat somebody whose defeat stops you. The Bible says in Matthew 10:37, and then I'm done, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross, what's the cross? Man, that's death to the flesh. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. In other words, he who tries to make self-protection and the protection of his loved ones his goal will lose my calling. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now he said some pretty tough things to some people that had lost. One guy, his father had just died. And he said, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. You know what? In reality, most scholars actually believe that in the tense of the way that was written, the guy's father was not dead yet, but he was sick and needed care. He says, I got to go take care of my dad. And the Lord said, well, let the dead bury their dead. And he said, you come follow me. Whew, that seems tough, doesn't it? It seems really hard. And I'm not saying God tells us to neglect our families, because you start neglecting your family, then one of us is going to be talking to you. Because your first ministry is to your family. But do not allow that to scare you off of what God's called you to do. Do not let the enemy look at you and say, you're not going to do it. Because I'm attacking somebody you love, and it's not going to happen for you. You just say, yes, I will do it. And the person that you're talking about is going to fulfill the vision that God has for them. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go forward because I believe God. Everything I have, I've entrusted into his hands. And that doesn't mean we're stupid with our loved ones. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't mean we're stupid, but it just, and just don't care and don't take proper precautions. But it means we don't stop. We keep on going. So, we can't be intimidated by Satan, and we got to learn to trust the most precious things in our lives into the hands of God. And next week, we're going to talk about the three basic tools. We've talked about the two basic attacks, but now we're going to talk about the three basic tools that Satan uses to stop the man and woman of God, because he has three basic tools that he uses to derail you. And we'll probably spend 1 week on each tool, because they all need to have their own time spent to talk about them. And so that's what we'll do next week. Let's just go before the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word and your care and your love for me. I want to give you praise that the enemy is underneath my feet. I also want to give you praise and thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that I'm not Superman. Father, that I can fall to the things that have deceived many other people. That doesn't mean I will, but I must be aware that I have to have your remedies around me in place to keep me and help me, Lord. And I will seek those remedies as Pastor shares them with me, Lord. I will get those remedies around me and be sure they're around me so that, Lord, you can speak to me and will keep me from falling. And Father, I want to give you praise. I want to tell you guys something. I had a second great pastor in my life fail. I had two of the most dynamic pastors, and when the second one had problems, I knew I was called in the ministry. When the second one had problems, you know what I did? I looked at the Lord. I said, I can't do this. I can't do it. I said, there's people better than me, smarter than me, stronger than me, and they can't make it. Who am I to think that I'm going to be able to do this? And the Lord took me back. If you got your Bibles, He took me back to the book of Jude, way back there by Revelation. The last book before Revelation. And I was just sitting there crying my heart out. I said, Lord, I'm not going to be able to make it. I guarantee you, I'm going to fall because these guys are stronger than me. They're smarter than I am. They've got more talent than I do. I don't know. I can't make it. I'm not going to be able to make it. And the Lord took me back to the book of Jude. He told me, open your Bible. And I went to Jude chapter 24. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling. Now to him who is able. But you have to depend upon his ability. And you have to have his remedies in place. But he said, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.